It's a 7 Best Day, and we're talking about bookmarking, the tools and tips necessary to manage those thousands of bookmarks that invade your browser toolbar each and every day. Stay tuned for that and much more. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network, sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast. This is Martin Spriggs, and Wells Tech is all about finding technology solutions that will aid in ministry. And this is episode 239 for June 6th, 2012. Joining me, as usual, from beautiful Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin, and welcome to the month of June and a summer of fun, hopefully.
Summer of fun, yes. Last week we talked about all the training opportunities over the summer, and this show will be equally interesting, I suspect, because it's one of my favorites, and that's our 7 Best. This was a series that we started, 2-3 months ago, and we'll continue throughout the summer, and we're building a list. One neat thing about the internet is it's full of lists, and sometimes you're I'm attracted, at least, to those, you know, like top 10 lists of the best whatever, and we decided, well, let's use a more biblical number than the 7 days of creation, or 7 days of the week, or 7 whatever, and 7 best of something. And this month, it's the 7 best bookmarking tools and tips.
That's right, because we all come across tons of great resources on the internet, and we need to manage those and make sense of them and be able to find them when we need them, so that that great Christmas craft idea for your children's teachers doesn't get lost when you see it in February and want to find it again in October. And that's just one example. There's plenty of things that we need to organize professionally or whatever, and having a great bookmarking service will help you along the way.
That's one thing I've observed just in working with users here in the Synod Administration Building, is just a hodgepodge of different approaches to try to remember bookmarks. And one thing that everybody tries to use, and usually not very successfully, is just your browser favorites, as they're called, whether that be in Firefox or Chrome or Internet Explorer. Those bookmarks that you tag, and they're just kind of held captive right within whatever browser you're using. But with the multiple devices that we have, mobile devices, home computers, whatever, the fact that they're just living in one browser isn't all that great.
No, it seems that you get one thing customized the way you want it, and you can find your links very easily. And then something changes about your computer, or you're on a different device. Maybe you're traveling and you're using a device in the place where you're located or whatever it is, and you can't get access to those. Mm-hmm. So that one local list of favorites doesn't serve you very well when you're on a different device, or when that device crashes and you lose your data.
Have to start over. And it's increasingly important to have these links ready, because there's all kinds of Web 2.0 apps that a lot of people rely on for day-to-day either work or play. You know, I know my link to the credit card I use, and the banking app that I use, those are all on there, paying bills, just sites that I go to on a regular basis for imagery, for writing even. You know, all of those things are links in my browser. And without those, then I'd really have to struggle to find their location. So
Martin, how many different devices do you touch on a semi-regular basis? I was just sitting here trying to think, and I'm probably at least 5, maybe more.
Well, I have one computer that I use, whether at home or work. I have a phone, and I have a tablet. So those are the 3 big ones. But occasionally I'll use my wife's iPad. So that's another device. The list probably gets pretty lengthy for a lot of people. But really, the case is even if you just have two, or sure. if you use two different browsers. Sometimes you have multiple browsers that you have to interact with, because especially on mobile devices, one browser, and I'm going to have a pick later on in the show here about another browser that you might want to consider using on mobile devices. But some sites work better on some browsers. You know, if you're mm-hmm. using Internet Explorer, some sites don't work well there. The Google sites work best on Google Chrome. So there's all kinds of reasons that you might be using a different or multiple browsers. So you really need a central place to manage bookmarks, and that's really what the seven best bookmarking tools and tips show is about. So we should probably start with number seven, right, Sally?
Yep, counting down the cloud-based services. And number seven is Pinboard.in.
Yep.
This is a fee-based product.
It is. It's not expensive. It is only $9.79. I don't know how they came up with that price. But Pinboard is if you just look at their website, it's pretty easy to kind of understand what they're about, is a personal archive for things you find online and don't want to forget. So it's a traditional bookmarking product, but it's a no-nonsense, no fluff. There's no special imagery. It's just the facts, ma'am. No ads, no fluff. And if you look at their site, you can take a quick tour of what it does. It's obviously going to be very fast because there's not a lot of baggage that goes along with this. It does allow you to import from Delicious and Instapaper and read it later and other bookmarking tools. One nice thing is that it interacts with your Twitter account, so you can search your archive of tweets from up to three accounts. So you can, one bad thing about Twitter is it's a bad organizer. So if you tweet things, you can search through it using Pinboard and then organize your tweets this way as well, or at least the links in your tweets. It does full archiving, so you've got working copies of every link. In fact, it says it does it better than Google. So if the internet is down or the site is down, you still have access to your links, at least the last archived copy. They do backups. There's ways to do this anonymously. Just a nice, simple approach to bookmarking. So if you're looking for something that's very simple, you can add notes to this, so it's not just all about links. So you can organize your stuff into different categories. There was one other thing. Mobile. As you can imagine, because there's not a lot of weight to this, it works really well on mobile devices. You just go to m.pinboard.in and you get all your stuff there, just a simple click to all your categories, and away you go. It works within a lot of mobile browsers to add a link. Just a nice simple bookmarking product. So if that's what you're after, you don't want anything else in your way, pinboard.in may be a good choice for you.
Sounds like a great example of a way to stay organized for sure. So.
Keep it simple. That's pinboard.in's model. So
yeah.
You pay a little bit, but it's obviously pretty cheap and I think well worth it.
Very good.
What's number six, Sally?
Number six may surprise some people, but we wanted to include in our list a website called StumbleUpon. I know we've talked about this in the way back past on Wells Tech, but StumbleUpon is kind of a search engine, kind of a tagging site as well. Mm-hmm. So it allows you to take advantage of social searching, basically, things that other people have discovered and tagged on the website. You pick categories of interest, say crafts or technology or whatever the category may be, and then you take your chances. It's kind of like anything goes. You click the magic stumble button and it will land you on a popular page that other people have tagged on the StumbleUpon site. In addition, if you're on a page that you like, you can tag it and it becomes part of the collective knowledge of StumbleUpon for whatever category it may fall in. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is when you're on a page, you've stumbled to a page that you would like to make use of again in the future, you can just click the I like it button and you can get back to the things that you've tagged as interest to you via the stumble upon mechanism. So totally free to make use of and guaranteed to open up your eyes to a lot of new things, because, you know, a lot of times we just get caught up in the blogs we follow or the sites that we regularly visit, and stumble upon is not about that. They're about opening your eyes to other things that are out on the web and finding new things. And I think that you know, with the tagging system and the ability to like things, then it can become a resource for you to store featured websites.
Mm-hmm. Not a resource you should use if you don't have a lot of time to kill. Because once you start stumbling, you're going to be stumbling for quite a while, because it's very addictive. I don't know if you found that, Sally, but when you start, you just kind of keep going. And the way it works is you identify different categories of interest. So if you're interested in chess or crafts or, you know, whatever it is, you add those, and then it provides for you popular sites that cater to those particular interests, and does it quite nicely. And so this is really a site if you don't have a lot of bookmarks, because you're going to get some once you start going through these sites. So
definitely
good choice. So that's number six. Number five is for Google Chrome users only, and it's called Chrome Syncing. Chrome browsers have obviously built-in favorites or bookmarks that you can use, but because Chrome is a browser that is on any operating system, Linux, Macs, PCs, you're able to get it now on mobile phones, of course. It provides a way to automatically sync all of your bookmarks across all of your devices or any place where you have Chrome running, and it does it automatically. So when you update a link or add a link in a Chrome browser, no matter what Chrome browser it is, you could be on a friend's computer, that all you have to do is log into your Google account, and it's going to make all those bookmarks available to you. And then when you go back to your regular browser, it's going to be there, or any other browser that you're logged in with your Google account. It just follows you along, and you can manage those, obviously, just like you can with the browser tools that are available to you. And just a good, simple approach to bookmark syncing, and all for free if you use Google Chrome.
Gotta start making use of that. It sounds like a great tool.
Yep, and any of the Google properties, it will do that. So YouTube,
sure,
favorites, those kinds of things as well. Mm-hmm. So that's number five. Sally, you've got number four for sure.
Number four is a rising star. We need to do this again next year, because I bet it'll be number one next year. But coming in at number four is Pinterest. And Pinterest is a way of tagging pages or resources found on the web, but using imagery to represent them. So if you're reading a particular blog and you love a photo that's included in that blog, you can click pin it, that photo becomes part of your pin boards. You can easily get back to that resource at any time by searching through your boards to find the area that you pinned it on. Pinterest is all about the images, and it just so happens that a new infographic expounds on that imagery power. And I think we talked about this in a recent podcast, how we read about this in Here Comes Everybody with Clay Shirky, how we're shifting from words to images to being the way that we learn things and explore things. And I think Pinterest has the pulse of that. It's definitely made a vault to the top of social sharing, and the whole tagging capability. Maybe it's providing tagging and bookmarking for a whole population of people that weren't doing this at all before mm-hmm. Pinterest existed. So I know a lot of teachers just grab the pictures, you know, for classroom ideas and things like that. And maybe they weren't pinning or bookmarking things before.
I totally agree with that. I believe that because of this one product, people are now annotating the web when they weren't involved in that at all before. They mm-hmm. probably had a mm-hmm. few links here or there for sites that they enjoyed, but this takes it to a whole new level because there's an organization and sharing process here. So Sally, how do you use Pinterest? What do you use it for?
Well, I subscribe to people that I find interesting. So if I see a pin or a collection of pins or a board that looks interesting or goes along with things that I like, then I follow them. And so my homepage is a mashup of all these different people that I follow, not necessarily people I know, but just people that are pinning out there. But and I love to scroll through the things they've pinned, but that's a limited look at Pinterest because you can also go into different categories. So a mix up of everyone pinning things in the category of technology or the category of crafts or the category of kids or whatever it may be that are your interest. And that's how I find more people to follow. And that's how I find things that are just kind of outside the box of my normal view of Pinterest. Mm-hmm. So when I have the time, I just like to peruse and see what people are talking about and what kind of links they're sharing.
Sure. Quick story. My oldest daughter, who lives down in Indiana, was in for the weekend 2 weekends ago for my youngest daughter's graduation from Luther Prep. And she is responsible for VBS Crafts at her church coming up in this summer. So she and my wife were kind of brainstorming different craft projects, and my wife said, "Well, have you checked Pinterest?" Mm-hmm. And that turned out to be a great resource, you know, for finding different things that could be done in a VBS context, specifically for crafts. It sounds like a great use case that I think a lot of people could maybe take advantage of. But that to me is kind of the power of something, a tool like this. Very visual, mm-hmm. But very shareable, something that you'd want to share and would be willing to share, and that you don't have to reinvent the wheel because there's a lot of people thinking up different ideas for this kind of thing. And Pinterest is a great showcase for that kind of stuff, and pretty easy to find. People on the show know, or people who listen to the show know, that I'm not a huge Pinterest user, but I suspect in my limited use, it's pretty easy to find stuff. A lot of
definitely,
stuff.
Right? Definitely. Yeah, we were just considering taking our own senior pictures of my son. And I did just a quick search. There's a search box right at the top of the page for senior boys pictures and came up with lots of ideas and poses and things that had been tagged as good. So, yeah, it's there for you to make use of it. Give it a shot.
Maybe I'll have to try it.
And pin. Yep.
All right. Let's move on. That was number four. Number three, Sally, is
Xmarks. This is a bookmark syncing tool.
Yes. Number five was Chrome syncing. Xmarks is syncing for everything, including Chrome. It's important to, if you're using multiple browsers on different devices or whatever, that they stay in sync, and that's all Xmarks does. Xmarks is a little app you install on whatever device you're working on, whether it be mobile or a computer, Mac, PC, doesn't matter. And it just works behind the scenes, and it looks at whatever bookmarks are in your browser, whether they be Internet Explorer, Chrome, Firefox, Safari, and it keeps them in sync with every other browser on that machine and every other browser that you have that's running on a machine where you have Xmarks installed. It also has a website, so you can go and manage bookmarks there. But just does it, you never see it. It just kind of works in the background and keeps everything in sync. So you don't have to worry whether you're setting a bookmark in one location that it's going to be available someplace else. Xmarks does that. So great product. Was in danger of going out of business a while back. And then LastPass, which is a password syncing tool, bought them. And now they're together and have a very solid product. So Xmarks.
Well, whole lot of syncing going on there, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
All right. Number two on the list, Martin, this is a favorite of yours, I know. It's Evernote.
Evernote is a great bookmarking tool because it not only just does the link, it'll do content. So people who've listened to the show for some time know that I've talked about Evernote on every chance I get. Because Evernote will just store anything. It'll store notes, pictures, clippings from the internet, and it puts it in a searchable catalog that is then synced down to your computer and also synced in the cloud. There are little add-ons, browser add-ons that can be installed in whatever browser, whether it be, you know, Chrome, Safari, Internet Explorer, whatever. We just click a link, and it grabs the page, sends it over to Evernote. You can put a tag on it or multiple tags on it. You can put them in categories, all for future reference. And so it's not so much a cached kind of a thing, but where you have to hope that it's there in the future. You can take a snapshot of the way it looks today, and it's always available and searchable for you. So, and you're typing away there, Sally.
You're on to me. I have to make notes so I can type all this up when it comes time to prepare the show notes. So.
Right. So Evernote is solid number two, and I think, and it's free. There is a paid for a premium version, but you can get what you need out of the free version. Then a fully searchable database, and I think worth a shot for anybody interested in grabbing stuff on the internet and saving it for future use. Have you ever tried Evernote?
I've tried it. I haven't adopted it. I keep things simpler by using our number one pick.
Number one, yeah. Yep. What is number one, Sally?
All about number one, and that is DIGO. Mm-hmm. We had to choose DIGO as the number one tool.
It was kind of a clear-cut winner, wasn't it,
yeah,
for both of us?
It's definitely a tool that we make use of to facilitate the Wells Tech podcast. Mm-hmm. So that probably tipped our hat just a little bit. But yep. DIGO is a social bookmarking tool. You can share your bookmarks with others as you find things on the web. It operates by installing a little browser plugin so that when you're on a particular web page and you want to remember that page and save that link, you simply click the little button and type in some information, maybe some tags or search terms that you might use to find the site that you're tagging, and it's saved there in your archive. It's a free tool, and you can access it on mobile devices. There are different ways you can use it in iOS. They have their own browser for iOS. They also have ways that you can add a bookmarklet to your Safari browser if you want to use it there. So kind of versatile. And there's lots of different elements to DIGO. One thing that we make use of, obviously, is DIGO groups, where people can be members of our groups and we can share items with the group. So see a collection of bookmarked items from the members of the group. And you can have open groups, you can have moderated groups where you control your group membership, that kind of thing. You can also make lists on DIGO. So if you're wanting to compile a group of links all around a particular topic, maybe around photography or image editing or webmaster tools or whatever it might be, you can start a list, and as you tag things, list is an option there that you can add it to the particular desired list. So it's not just part of your massive collection of bookmarks, but it's also on a designated list. And I've used list when I'm presenting, and you can share the list link with people.
It can be public or private.
Have, right, exactly. They have all the links that you've talked about when you're presenting. I also use it when I'm teaching online classes. I'll just make up a massive list of links that'll be referenced in the class. And you can add some little categorizations or section titles to your list and organize, drag and drop the order of things in your list and things like that. So many, many ways to make use of DIGO. Certainly an excellent bookmarking tool.
One of the things that I like really goes beyond bookmarking, and that's really on the annotation side, where You can highlight text on a page, and as long as you're logged into Digo, when you return to that page, you can see what you highlighted. So if you're using it for reference purposes, you can come back, and either, whether it's in a presentation or whatever, you can see what was important about that particular web page. You can also add sticky notes, you know, to a page, so you can essentially add a note about the content. So whether you're summarizing it or key points or whatever it is, that stays with the page as well. Just an awesome, awesome tool, indispensable for anybody that uses web content. Another thing that really comes in handy on some browsers, it works better on some than others, I've found, is the Digo toolbar. So if you put the Digo toolbar, it can basically replace your favorites. So you don't use the favorites bar, you know, on a particular browser. Digo becomes your toolbar, and that kind of acts as your bookmark synchronizer across all your devices. So I can't say enough about Digo. It's free. There is a premium version. There is an educator's version, which allows you to create kind of private closed classroom groups or Digo sharing groups, where you can have some control over things. But great tool.
Very good. Can't say enough good about it. And I'm glad it's our number one pick, but watch out, Digo, because Pinterest is up and coming. So
I don't know about, it's going to take a lot to overcome Digo.
All right, Martin, we did not talk about it in advance, but we do have a 7 best list coming up for the month of July. I'm wondering if we should send our webmaster some love in July.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah.
Whatever you pick, Sally, it will be fine with me.
Well,
webmaster resources?
Yeah, we'll do webmaster resources for July. How's that for a big decision?
On the fly, yes.
Yeah.
We're nothing if not nimble on the show.
So tune in for that at the beginning of July. Meanwhile, you can send us all of your favorite resources, you that are webmasters out there. How do you manage those sites, and what kind of tool sets do you use to do that?
Very good. All right, let's move on. We have a ministry resource today, Sally.
We do, a recent blog post from the Church Marketing Sucks blog called Power to the Pews, Internal Marketing. Yeah. So this is kind of like a guerrilla kind of thing, huh?
Yep, guerrilla marketing. And the subject of this post is promoting your church from within your church. So really, how do you create excitement within the membership? And there's just some common sense things that they talk through, things like being friendly, of course, and different ways to do that. Coffee hour, name tags, invitation, you know, direct invitations to people, dinners, Sunday picnics, potlucks we would probably substitute here in the Lutheran church. Different ways to connect your congregation. You've got these, especially in larger congregations, but even mid-sized congregations, you've got separate little groups that kind of socialize, but those groups never interact with each other. How do you get them together? How do you introduce them to each other? Just a little cross-pollination or networking. And just some nice tips, I think. A nicely written article to promote your church from the inside out. So a good ministry resource from the churchmarketingsucks.com, or there's an alternate, Church Marketing Stinks, I think, if you prefer that URL. So take a look at that. This is part of a 7-part series called Power to the Pews. And there's four others already up there. Creating content, painting the web, painting the town, the invitation, and now guerrilla church marketing or internal marketing. So good stuff.
It is good. A lot of times we focus on outreach, but it's important that we strengthen those internal bonds as well.
Absolutely. Shall we move on to our picks of the week, Sally?
Oh, I can hardly wait.
Okay, yeah, this is one of your all-time favorites already.
It is. It didn't take long for PicMonkey to make me a happy girl. And just recently they announced that they do have the ability to create collages. PicMonkey is a replacement to one of my favorite sites, Picnic, that went out of business. And when PicMonkey came on the scene, you could do all kinds of great and easy editing with the tools. But it didn't have a collage maker, which is something that I'd really enjoyed on the Picnic site. So if you check out PicMonkey.com. You can now make use of collages. They give you some free images to try it out with, but you can upload your own pictures, obviously. They also give you layouts to use. So they have layouts specifically designed to be your Facebook cover picture. They have big and small layouts and layouts that look like jigsaw puzzles, all kinds of different layouts. But what gets me ultra excited about this tool is that you can basically design your own layout, because as you add photos, you can drag them to the edges of the existing layout and add photos anywhere you want them to lie in the layout. And then you can resize the areas. So maybe it gives you a nice squared off layout, but you can drag the different areas to be bigger and larger. It's just totally, completely flexible in that regard. You can make your images wider and taller, and you can control the outline colors, the width of the outlines, corner rounding. Lots and lots of versatility with this collage tool. I've never seen anything like it, and it just makes me a happy girl. If you like photography at all, you're going to enjoy making collages with the PicMonkey collage tool.
So this sounds like even an upgrade from the Picnic tool, then.
It is, yeah, with all that just total flexibility. Basically, you're dealing with tables of images, different shapes and sizes, and in relation to each other. And with the drag and drop, you can totally control what size each area is.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Pick very, Monkey very collage. Nice tool.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Is it picmonkey.com? What is the website?
It is picmonkey.com. And just an added bonus I discovered as I was playing with the collage tool, I also noticed on their homepage that PicMonkey has a Facebook app now. So you can actually do PicMonkey edits within Facebook if you follow their app. So no, we'll put a link to that as well. All kinds of goodies from the
PicMonkey
people.
Picnic actually went over to Google Plus, so those tools are still over there. And it sounds like Facebook has found PicMonkey. So sounds like a great addition for them.
Absolutely.
Because before, could you even edit Facebook images?
I think you can do some basic edits like rotate and maybe crop and things like that, but not a whole lot of editing capabilities. But now this is an app. It's not integrated directly with the image. So you follow the app and it's listed in your sidebar, and then you can bring up any of your images and make edits to them.
Does it save them back then?
It does allow you to save them back to a PicMonkey folder in your Facebook.
Oh, so it doesn't come into your Facebook
album.
Stream. Okay.
An album in your Facebook photos area. So yeah, I did one.
Oh, you could. Okay.
And yeah, it showed right up on my timeline as well. So
oh, cool.
It's definitely there. They don't have the collage maker on Facebook, at least not yet, but definitely all the photo edits are there.
But you could do the collage and then upload it to Facebook separately.
You absolutely could.
Right. Mm-hmm. Cool. Very nice. I like it.
Yeah, I love it.
All right. My pick, I'm going to stay on the browser side of things and in keeping with our seven best theme. This is a mobile browser called Dolphin. Dolphin HD. It's a mobile browser for Android and iPhone. There are apps on each. It's free, totally free. One of the big differences between this is the add-on community and the add-on infrastructure or ecosystem that's available for the browser. We had talked about Xmarks in our seven best, and there is an Xmarks version for Dolphin. So if you use Xmarks on your computer and want those synced to your mobile phone or your tablet, this is a great way to do it. If you use the Dolphin browser, Xmarks will come right in. We mentioned LastPass as well, not in the top seven, but in relation to Xmarks, which is a password management tool, which I use. And it is also available as an add-on for the Dolphin browser. So all of your stored passwords can be available on your mobile device just like they are on your computer via LastPass. They have a password manager built in. There's a function to print to PDF, so web to PDF pages. So if you want to store those for later, there's a good bookmarking architecture. It's tab-based. So if you're a fan of tab browsing, it works really well. Works a lot like Chrome, so if you just click and hold on a tab, you have the choice of closing all the other tabs or just closing that tab. You can rearrange your tabs. You can create new home pages. Very fast, I've found. I think it's better than the Safari browser. More flexible as well. I think it opens up more pages. There's more consistency in page opens than I think in the Safari browser. So not a bad selection for free. Again, the caveat for iPhone users and iPad users, you cannot replace the default browser. You're still kind of stuck with Safari. So it's a little less useful in that regard. But also on Android, you can replace the default browser very easily, and this just pops up whenever you click on a link, and very nice. I like it a lot.
You know, I had the experience not that long ago of showing someone the Chrome browser on a desktop computer, and they were just stunned at the speed in mm-hmm. comparison to what they had used in the past. And I mm-hmm. think, you know, once you get used to that speed and responsiveness, it's really hard to go back. Right. So yeah, I love the fast. The fast nature and the free price tag.
And there seems to be a good community around this particular project, so that's always good too. So there's always things being added to it and improvements made, and just a nice little product.
Excellent. Good pick.
All right. What's next here, Sally?
Boy, this is a quiet week on the Wells Tech Podcast. I can't say that this has happened before, but we don't have any community feedback to share at this point. Maybe that means that next week we'll get slammed and we'll have to spend half an hour on community feedback.
Well, part of the reason, just in full disclosure, is we're taping this or recording this show a week early because of some commitments that we have. So we didn't have a full week for community feedback anyway. So, but we do want to hear it. And there are many ways to contribute, so please take advantage of those. First and foremost, DIGO. You can use DIGO to share with the Wells Tech group, and that will definitely get it on the show. You could use Delicious, which is kind of the, you notice Delicious didn't make it on our top seven list because it's kind of, you know, in the weeds at this point. Still around, but not all that popular as a social bookmarking tool. You can connect with us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/WellsTech. Twitter, #WellsTech. Voicemail, 405-4-WELLS. That's 405-367-9357. Or good old email, wellstech@wells.net. Any of those work, and you can connect with us in any social network that you're on, more than likely. So let's hear any feedback for webmasters or anything that you'd like us to discuss on the show, or reactions to stuff we have discussed on the show. If we miss something in our seven best bookmarking tools and tips, let us know about it. We'd love to hear your feedback. So,
most definitely.
What are we doing next week, Sally?
I am excited about next week because we're kicking off our summer series. It's called the Summer Software Showcase, and we're going to pick a piece of software. We're going to tell you how you can make use of it, especially focusing on ministry applications for the software. So looking at across the board, any different software that's out there, if there's anything you'd like to hear us talk about or learn more about, we'd love to demonstrate it this summer on our Summer Software Showcase. So tune in next week for the first installment.
Very good. I'm excited about that too. So let's close the show with the music of Crosswalk Lutheran Ministries, their song, Dive Into God's Word. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.